struggle or contention anymore. It's just a shopping mall without a dome. It is brick-lined, and there are the relics of the past on Mount Armour Street and here on the corner of Church and Palmer. But, yeah, Dan Aykroyd built the House of Blues, and the Wailers did come there last week, but maybe this is what I of your life. I'm soaking it in already. Thank you.
Somebody's thinking you should eat more fish than you do.
East and Midwest and Mid-Atlantic, and I asked that question every night, and it wasn't until I got to Northampton that a few people made a low rumble. What the fuck is going on? You know that fulcrum point where there's this weird, horrible synchronization of what a wonderful world it would be.
So if I get your number right, and it's still the first child, speak clearly, I'll speak clearly as we be. Thursday runs red, the ocean.
fills with blood.
God gave man missiles and they flew and it was good. You wanna see freedom, baby, try a mixed neighborhood on Friday. You wanna see slaves, try sister car. Saturday, says NORAD, we all pay our dues. Matthew Broderick's in the bombardier seat, he don't wear no shoes. We're all eating whoppers, baby, but whoppers, that ain't food.
Days of nothing happening. Isn't that the most, to me, that's the most unnerving part. Murky nothing. Somebody's doing something and it's not making news. I think that the motherfuckers got it right, though. The longer we don't get the news, the longer they work with impunity. And the longer it takes, the stranger the polarization will be. I mean, when it comes down one way or the other, and they say make a choice, if we're really bored, fat again, because we got a little lean, didn't we? We got a little tougher. But if we're really bored and fat again, and then they say make a choice, it's a different landscape. A year ago, if someone had said, stand on this side of the line or that side of the line, you would have watched your neighborhood cut right down the middle or in quarters or in thirds. A year from now, I think a lot of people are just going to say, I don't care. I'm not sure. What do you mean? Where can I vote? Who wants to know? Can my kid? Yeah, you can have his name and address if you want to try to recruit him later. That's okay with me, too. It's a slow snake. It's not a fast viper anymore. They learned their lesson 30 years ago. I talked to older people than me, and they say to me, you know, by this time, in my world, we would have already been doing this. And I say, yeah, but it took them 30 years to break that apart. You know, they just got you fat and soft. And there's nobody who's standing on my left or my right anymore who's coming out of Harvard University, or if I'm in Connecticut, coming out of Yale, or if I'm up in Buffalo, coming out of SUNY, who really has their finger on that pulse, because we've been taught a whole different way of looking at things. There's a filter. And you and I are, you know, I'm a preacher, someone else is a preacher, I'm sitting with you, I'm the choir. We need the choir, we need to preach to the choir, but all we're doing here is giving each other energy. It's the people who are thinking, everything's okay. Not much happening in the news today, I guess it's all right. Well, those people need to be in the choir at some point. How do we get them there is the question. I guess my thought is, we try to take from each other the energy to go out and tomorrow doesn't suck so much because tonight was pretty good, and convey that. Because one thing I think people do respond to is energy. They do respond to you being up and at it and not just giving them a litany of facts and figures, but saying, this felt good last night. It's not protest music. It was good music. You should have come out and heard it. Tunes had melodies. Well, at least the main act did.
World. And the president of CNN. committed, fueling world conflict, and promised the option off every dime that his network had ever garnered by a sensationalization of the unfortunates and a glorification of warmongers. And yes, he'd give part of this to the arts, but most of it would go straight to world hunger. He said, I'll save a little bit, though, for the guy who got burned by making Napster. It was the first ray of hope in this world. The first ray of hope. It was the first ray of hope. It was the first ray of hope in this world.
I've been writing songs like the one I'm about to write you for a while, but I realized every time I played them, I felt vaguely, sad afterwards. So I've been trying to find somewhere in my marrow or in the crook between my hip and my ass something that just shakes a little more. And that was the first time I tried that one out, and if it shook you a little, you let me know later. I can only see like four of you here, and all of you look pretty shaken from the first, so I don't know if it's like residual shakes or if you just need some of the whiskey I got on stage, like I said. Alright, this song's a true story. As much as stories are true anymore. I'm really glad to be here with you. Thanks to David Rovics for letting me open the show for him. He's someone that I think spends a lot of time doing what he thinks is important. And to me, right now, we need about 250,000 more of him on stages around the country. We might start doing something.
I drove to Jersey Turnpike. The rain fell like a sacrament. The air was still unclean. I stared from our economies, our utilities, my old truck. Pistons in the engine rattled. We don't give a fuck. Want this ride. So we stood out on the granite steps.
Pleasure to be with you tonight. Really has been. This is good. I'm glad that Wednesday night looks like this for this kind of music and not anything else. Other than, I guess if there were people sitting on that ledge and right here, we could say, like, fuck what it was back in 2002. Remember when it was like three quarters full in 2002? But right now, we have what I need anyways to keep moving forward with the thought that somebody's ears are unplugged with that great political wax that's been building up since I was about seven. And my dad had a canister of money on the counter and said, you may take what you like from the canister, but you must tell me. Did that ever really fucking work? I mean, how else explain Enron? It never really worked. You don't tell somebody when you take the money. You just take it and you spend it. That's human nature. Forgive each other, yes. Change the system so there isn't a canister of money on the counter anymore. Then maybe you make your payments on the BMW that you leased in the driveway. My dad turned that in, and it was a great loss in his life. The first time I ever saw my dad really hang his head was when that BMW 580E went back to the dealer. And I thought, wow, BMWs are important. My dad never showed any emotion before. And, I got a mailing list in the lobby. I'd love to see you again. It's green. Always will be.
Rich white American children come from the suburbs and go to a college where they learn a second language. Sometimes the language is a dead one, it does not bother them. Love
truck I want, a handgun in my glove compartment. Some nights you make a noise, thank God there's no handgun in my apartment.
$10 out there. I'd love to sign one for you. I'm on your side. See you next time.
That was James O'Brien, everybody. Like he said, he's got a mailing list and CDs out back, as well as our next artist has both mailing lists and CDs out back. So we're going to take a quick 15-minute break. If you guys want to use that time to go check out the CDs, please do so, and then we'll be back up with Dave Rovix.
Now, let's see. I guess it's time to do some old-time fiddling now. There, we're going to call on the gentleman over there to do that. I think he can take care of it. I'm real proud of him. You know, just a year ago, they had a big fiddling contest in Seattle, Washington. The best in the world. And I'm proud to tell you folks here tonight, this fella right over there took first prize. He took it, but they made him put it back. From the hills of West Virginia, make welcome James Price.
Mother, if I took your heart, stapled it to mine, tell me, do you think we get it back in time? Would I understand things you've done and said? Would we make it back? In your head, Mother, now you know that I'm no prodigal son, but I don't want to come home and explain what I have done. I don't want to have your eyes drilled into my head. They're so sad, my dear, full of gin and wine. So tonight on Berlin streets, I've got you coming down in sheets. Oh yeah, now I'm calling after you. Can you hear me? But no matter what you do, love you, Mother. Mother, yeah, you used to sing your songs to me at night, and your sweet, sweet voice made everything all right. How I wish I knew that secret lullaby. Take away your pain and all the tears you cry. And tonight on Berlin streets, got you coming down. But no.
All right, how's that? A little better. Welcome back, everyone. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me good? Great, great. Well, how about another hand for James O'Brien? That's one of the things I like about James. I've gotten to know him a little better working with him here at the club, and one thing that I always see that he brings to the room is a lot of energy, and no matter who you are, he's going to make you think about one thing or another. So, coming up right now, hopefully we'll continue. Dave, would you stay here a little bit on the questionable side? I read on one of his CDs in back that he has quite a few songs asterisked on the back, and the asterisk comment at the bottom read several of these songs these songs contain one or more words that the FCC would not approve of, such as F the FCC. So that just gives you a little hint what you're in for. Please welcome to the stage David Rovix.
Thank you. This is Eric Royer, who's going to be joining me. This is a song, are we all on? This stuff sounds different. Maybe I didn't talk before I was singing. This is certain song about a certain event on a certain date from the perspective of a worker. That's about the best introduction I have. That this is a it's really quite a novel experience for me to play with other musicians. I don't do that very often. Now we're in the same key.
Into the building, got as far as the 35th floor. Black smoke and the heat was like nothing I'd seen in all of my years. With each step in that blazing inferno, you could feel destiny. Those who made it to the stair. I carried the wounded to see if that's what you might call the street, with bodies and concrete and metal all crashing down at your feet. As number two was collapsing, ten floors still stood, and everything was falling around like it was made out of cardboard and wood. That's when I heard someone trapped underneath the debris. I started pulling at something, and that's when the fire got me. I was pinned beneath the rubble. The flames were licking my coat, and the pain, the unbearable agony. And then that was all that she knew. wish I could tell you, for I am taken away. I've seen a lot of this world, and there's something that I gotta say. I don't believe in politics. I believe in the human race. I believe in the goodness of people in New York or some faraway place. Believe in my daughter. I believe in my wife. And may nobody's father be taken to avenge the loss of my life. Some people may call me a brave man, and this may very well be, but the firefighters of Kabul are just as brave men as me.
And this is Allie Rosenblatt. More vocals in the monitors. Let's see how the that's maybe a little more. A little more out there too. Yeah. More vocals everywhere. Let's see that. Yeah, that sounds good to me here in the monitors. And, this is a song that was inspired by a speech by George W. Bush, which has been my greatest inspiration for at least a year now. I think he's a really inspiring figure. Somebody just wrote, somebody was trying to write a book about him, like along the lines of the Quail Quarterly. Do we remember the Quail Quarterly? Where every idiotic thing that Quail said got to be in its own magazine, and there was enough to fill up four per year. And So somebody was going to do something similar for Bush, and they were thinking it was going to be something funny, because he's always saying really stupid shit, until the guy actually analyzed, when he makes the most, misstatements. And he found, he was concerned to find that almost every time he makes a misstatement, it's when he's attempting to exhibit some form of alien emotion, like compassion or empathy. And that whenever he's speaking about bombing people or punishing someone or killing someone on death row or whatever, he never fucks up. He just says it straight. So he came to the conclusion that George Bush is in fact not a moron. He is a sociopath. And this was following the Chrétien's aide, who says George Bush is a moron, and then she had to leave her job, and other people in the Canadian government were passing around a memo saying that idiot is not a moron, but then this guy said no, he's actually a sociopath. So the debate is an important debate: is he a moron or a sociopath? This is the question, or both.
Safer country, and it's in God we trust. So we'll bomb you during Ramadan, turn your world into dust. But pull up on your bootstraps, stand on your own 2 feet, as we blow them off with cluster bombs disguised as something to eat. We stand for freedom and prosperity, so we'll bomb your schools and hospitals. Make sure you live in liberty, and all you evildoers, and your children and your wives, with our B-52s, we'll show you how we value civilian lives. Give us your hungry, your restless, we'll show you democracy, a military trial, and detention indefinitely. We'll have homeland security, Thomas Ridge, all hail. We may not find the terrorists, but we can throw the left in jail, and we will all be safe, and we shall have no fears once our retinas have been scanned and all the walls have ears, and we're all in good hands. When the FBI is in the know, we're sure they'll look after us just like they did with Poe and Velcro. So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, land, red, white, and blue.
You can join us, especially on the God Bless America part. We need more patriots around here.
When facing anyone with box cutters, we'll say, put up your dukes, as we spend $50 billion on bombers and nukes. We're a beacon of light, and just to make the point, we'll cut taxes on the rich and throw the poor into the joint. And we'll bail out the airlines, get out your green fedoras, and for all you laid-off workers, we've got maquiladoras. Yes, capitalism will save us. For have you ever seen a more effective troop than Enron in Argentina? So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue.
Very good.
We'll bomb them down the skids. There'll be no more terrorists once we kill their kids. People may starve and economies may crumble, but those folks will just have to learn to be more humble and give us your money. Debt repayments with a plow while we scour the map for a country left to bomb. And as another city falls on our sacred American soil, at least we've got our daisy cutters and that Alaskan oil. So hang a flag in the window, all hail to the chief. Follow the leader and suspend your disbelief. Our country, right or wrong, you know what to do. Sing, God bless America, that red, white, and blue.
So this this song is a chorus too, and you all sing great, and we want more singing.
Yeah.
And because I think James is right. I always say that it's very important for the choir to sing together, because we do. We need to have fun, and because social change is you have to have fun in order to change the world. I think the two are really linked intimately, and. And I can't prove that necessarily, but we need an alternative to the Answer Coalition, and that means we have to sing. I think that's basic.
What's that?
Nothing. What happened? You can't hear Allie. Tell me any other critiques of the situation here. No, we need you need want to hear Allie better, and otherwise, all of Allie's relatives would like to hear more of Allie. Okay. Well, she's kind of close, you know.
Thanks, Paul.
So this is a song with a chorus. True story. It should be the new slogan for the Coca-Cola Corporation, but they don't. Rich, we need to, maybe we can write him a letter and suggest it. Good.
Coke came to Colombia seeking lower wages. They got just what they came for. But as we turn the pages, we find the workers do not like the sound of their children's hungry cries. So they said, we'll join the union. They began to organize. So Coke called up a terrorist group called the AUC. Said, we've got some problems at the factory. The AUC went to the plant, killed two union men. Told the rest, you leave the union or we'll be back again. So Coke did not complain about this dirty deed. Why give workers higher wages when Coke is all they really need? They own the AUC, said thanks. Without you, we'd go broke. And to show our appreciation, here's 100 cases of Coke. The baby drinks it in his bottle when the water ain't no good. The dog drinks it, but he don't know if he should. Some folks say it's the nectar of the gods, but Coke is the drink of the death squad. What is it? Coke is the drink of the death squad. Very good. Well, these workers wouldn't take this situation lying down. Some went up to Georgia, said, look what's happened to our town. You American workers get downsized. As for us, we just get shot. And those of us who live, our teeth begin to rot. 'Cause the baby drinks it in his bottle when the water ain't no good. The dog drinks it, but he don't know if he should. Some folks say it's the nectar of the gods, but Coke is the drink of the death squad. Let me hear you. Coke is the drink of the death squad.
To this song anyway. Somebody can tell me. Like, Eric could probably tell me what the chords were. What's the next verse? That's another question. Oh yeah. No, that's the second verse there. This will all go down. We're recording this for posterity, by the way. This will be the title track of the next album.
Well, now that's the situation. What are you gonna do? 'Cause the death squads run Columbia, and they're paid by me and you. We can let Coke rule the world, see what future that will bring. Or we can drink juice and smash the state. Now that's the real thing. 'Cause the baby drinks it in his bottle when the water ain't no good. The dog drinks it, but he don't know if he should. Some folks say it's the nectar of the gods, but Coke is the drink of the death squad.
One more time.
Coke is the drink of the death squad.
Golly, one of these days I'll learn these songs. What are you doing now? This is a song that is, I don't know, who can tell me when the Imperialist period was?
About 17,000.
I don't know. Definitely doesn't go past 5,000 years, I think that was clear. But no, it was according to the mainstream history of the books, the Imperialist period was from 1846 to 1849. After that, we've been friendly neighbors to everybody. But this was the period during which the U.S. invaded Mexico and took it away and never gave it back, most of it, which is now California and Arizona and various other states. And there's a certain group of people who are well known in Ireland and in Mexico, but not so well known here. So me and Howard Zinn have been trying to change that situation. I heard about this in the speech about Howard Zinn. They were sort of like a Witness for Peace delegation in a way. I'd like to think of them that way, but they were a little but a more sort of uppity.
Some kind of witness.
My name is John Riley. I'll have your ear only a while. I left my dear home in Ireland. It was death, starvation, or exile. When I got to America, it was my duty to go. Enter the army and slog across Texas to join in the war against Mexico. And it was there in the pueblos and hills that I saw the mistake I had made. Part of a conquering army with the morals of a bayonet blade. And there amidst all these poor dying cats, screaming children, the burning stench of it all, myself and 200 Irishmen decided to rise to the call. From Dublin, say, to San Diego, we witnessed freedom tonight. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side.
That's the course.
Green flag of St. Patrick, emblazoned with Erin Bowbrow. Right with the harp and the shamrock, and the Libertad de la Republica. Just 50 years after Wolfstone, 5,000 miles away, the Yanks called us a legion of strangers, and they can talk as they may. But from Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied, so we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side. We fought them in Matamoros, where their volunteers were raping the nuns. In Monterrey and Cerro Gordo, we fought on as Ireland's sons. We were the red-headed fighters for freedom. Amidst these brown-skinned women and men, side by side we fought against tyranny. And I dare say we'd do it again. From Dublin City to San Diego, we witnessed freedom denied. So we formed the St. Patrick Battalion, and we fought on the Mexican side.
Mexican side.
song is also inspired directly by a speech by G.W. He just was, you know, having a sort of little day of dishonesty there, and he decided not to tell the truth that time, and he told us about all these other terrorist training camps in the world, and he just forgot to mention a few of them, and so I just tried to fill in the blanks, some of the blanks.
President got on TV. There was nary a dry eye. Said he loved his country. Mom and apple pie. He said he was a proud man and he liked his home fries grilled. And as for countries harboring terrorists, those people should be killed. He said we'd send our bombers to deal with rogue states. And all those evil people would have to meet their fate. So it was with some trepidation that I looked up to the sky. Cause I was driving past Fort Benning when I came to realize that I guess we're gonna have to bomb Columbus, Georgia. Home of the infamous SOA. Cause they train the death squads of Columbia who commit a massacre every day. Civilians are their targets. Folks just like you and me. I guess that makes them terrorists. Any idiot must agree. Well, I was headed further south for a vacation. Spent some time hanging on the beach. Soaking up some sun and playing volleyball. All my troubles out of reach. Then I saw brothers to the rescue. Flying in the clouds above my head. And I thought, this trip might not be too restful. If tomorrow I am dead. I guess we're gonna have to bomb Miami. With all those insurgents running loose. Killing chickens at the Bay of Pigs and elsewhere. They say they've got some kind of excuse. But isn't terror terror irregardless? If your victim is a fan of Karl Marx. So let's get out the cluster bombs and napalm. Kill off some people, fish and sharks. Well, I thought I would head north. Go someplace where I might feel safe. It was all a bit unsettling. I was feeling like a lost weep. It was then that I thought I'd move to Costa Rica. Though such a thing seemed terribly uncouth. As I suddenly realized with horror the terrifying, clear, and present truth. I guess we're gonna have to bomb Washington, D.C. Cause terrorists are lurking all around. Sending soldiers, guns, and money wherever death squads and dictators may be found. So let's appreciate the situation. Take your Orwell off the shelves. If we are to listen to our president, we're gonna have to bomb ourselves. If we are to listen to our president, we're gonna have to bomb ourselves.
This is a song about some of the actual people being bombed. I got it from an article by the same name as the song, and a journalist from England. What was the name? Who I never gave credit to because I can't remember his name, but LR or something. Wrote it in the Sunday Independent one day. And that's how his article went.
Army commander spoke to the media. He said, this is a nation of laws. We do not target civilians, and we only bomb with cars. And he said as he looked into the camera with a cold, bone-chilling stare, as for the village of Colorado, nothing happened there. In the village where nothing happened, most people had risen from bed. Women were preparing to cook and make sure every mouth would be fed. Just before the beginning of Ramadan, water was set out to boil. Little fires were heating tin kettles upon the dry Afghan soil. In the village where nothing happened, children played in the streets. Men were bending in prayer with no shoes on their feet. It was another day like so many that had gone down before, and nobody told Camarado just what lay in the store. Can be 52. The bombs fell all around them, so many a deafening blast, and the people of Camarado learned that life can end so fast. In the village where nothing happened, the houses collapsed in the morn. Not one terrorist died there, but maybe some were born. In the village of Camarado, there are no underground caves. There's just rubble and dust and craters, and 115 new graves.
Bonnie? This is my sister Bonnie Rovix. We're actually following a set list tonight. I guess for those of you who have heard me here at Club Bethema and have never heard me anywhere else, then you would think I always play with other musicians and always have set lists, but actually neither is true. Me and Allie have been playing together a lot, though. We've been touring around. And been a lot of fun. So this is a song that was largely inspired by ProjectCensored.org, and it's a few of the things the media doesn't tell us about, like for example the last song, and the one before that, and the one before that.
Pushing crack in the ghettos of L.A. while the food crops in Colombia get sprayed by the DEA. The FBI is reading your email for something called the carnivore, while the rich are getting richer and the poor are staying poor. They're launching nuclear-powered ships up into space. One little accident could wipe out half the human race. They're putting radioactive waste into your silverware, or maybe your toaster, or perhaps your wheelchair. The Air forces bombing Iraq every other day. They don't like the government, so the children have to pay. And the ozone hole is growing. The sheep are going blind, while the U.S. spends more on arms than the rest of the world combined. Journalists are getting fired from San Jose to Atlanta when they write about reality, not a fluff piece for Santa. A death threat every week, and sometimes life is short when the truth is too dangerous for someone to report. Who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control? Heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? Cancer is skyrocketing, though people are smoking less. If you live near a nuke, your life is bound to be a mess. Clean water's almost gone all over the earth, and what's left they want to privatize. You see how much it's worth. Chevron is gunning down the students of Nigeria, turning the land to waste while the babies die of diphtheria. And the weather's getting hotter, the world's forests are on fire. Pretty soon Brazil will be one raging funeral pyre. Who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control? Heroic victories or crime? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? One in three adult Americans cannot read or write, and their children go to bed hungry every night. 2 million U.S. citizens are rotting behind bars, and while they're there, they're working hard, building parts for cars. The army's running torture schools to keep the earth under control, and they're relocating Navajos so they can mine some extra coal. Our taxes pay McDonald's to sell tumors in Shanghai, while 100,000 poisoned vets are just about to die. Who will tell the people that free speech is a ruse? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control? Heroic victories or crimes? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? New Delhi to New Mexico, there are battles going on, and and the darkest hour is just before the dawn. In Berkeley and New York, they're raiding radio stations, trying to turn the voice of the people into the voice of the corporation. Will we seize the airwaves, wipe the sweat off of our brow, stand and face the beast and shout democracy now? Who will tell the people that free speech is the root? The corporations run the country, and then they make the news. Is it media or mind control, heroic victories or crime? Who will tell the people that we're living in these times? That we're living in these times? That we're living in these times?
Love song in the way that all of these songs are love songs.
Mi amor, as you pause beside the lilacs, I watch you take them in. You start the morning like a prayer. That's the way your days begin. And if I could be a petal, which you touch before you go, with this branch I'll scratch the dirt, and that's the seed I'll sow. Mi amor, as you dive beneath the water, I watch it cascade down your chest. You rise upon the wave as if it's molded to your breath. And if I could be a stream that feeds this lake, which might rise to kiss your face, I will wind my way between these rocks, so I might settle in this place. Mi amor, as you glide beside the clouds, I feel the wind beneath your wings. With such ease you take this gift your friend La Luna brings. And I hope that in my lungs there might be the strength one day that you might gather other sparrows and chase the crows away. Mi amor, the sound that rises from your belly is one I've heard before. Reaches deep behind these walls, and I want to live some more. If I might write a verse which you choose to sing one afternoon, then I will gladly while away the hours searching for the tune.
This is a very profound song here. This is a song actually about a tradition. Well, there's a lot of interesting things that came out of the autonomous movement, autonomous movement in Germany in the 80s and early 90s. And they occupied a lot of hundreds of abandoned buildings all over the country and held lots of protests and did lots of other things that you know, to some might be familiar. And then there's other things that they did that haven't really made their way outside of Germany much, and certain ways that they challenged social relations, particularly between genders. That this particular tradition that I wrote the song about has become institutionalized in leftist households throughout Germany, and it's one of the ways they dealt with the problem of of which is a fairly universal problem of men making more mess and cleaning less.
Yeah.
And of course, one of the ways to deal with that problem is for men to clean more, and the other is for them to make less mess. And so, specifically in bathrooms, the way they dealt with this problem is illustrated in this song. It's a tradition that I thought should be exported. And in most of the German leftist households, you will see a picture, in fact, of because they do everything in pictures in Europe, you know, with all those languages, and so they just have pictures everywhere. And they have a picture of a guy standing up and peeing into a toilet and splashing all over the place, and there's a big X through it. And then there's a picture of the guy sitting on the toilet, and it's circled. And clearly, the point is made clear. And then there's the cartoon that was in some magazine of a guy where the sign said, sit down to piss. And so the guy was on the floor trying to aim up. Unclear on the concept. He didn't quite get it, but inventing his own methods.
World's full of problems. Some are big, some are small. War, greed, pollution might take some time to solve them all. But if a long march starts with just one step, there's one I'd like to mention. If you live with your nostrils open, perhaps it's come to your attention. You may be fighting for freedom all the night and day, but when you come back home, someone's bound to say, you want to change the world, man, believe me, I do too. But in the meantime, is it required that we live in a zoo? Because the revolution starts at home. Let me tell you this. Stand up for your rights, boys, but sit down to piss. The chorus. If you've ever lived with other people, you may know what I mean. Who's gonna wash the dishes and get the bathtub clean? As we scrub the tear gas from our eyes, the issue may seem so little, but what might make or break the movement is exactly how you did all. Cause the revolution starts at home. Let me tell you this. Stand up for your rights, boys, but sit down to piss. If you just love to clean the toilet, I'd say that is really neat. But you can still save yourself some effort by pulling up a seat. However, if you think your aim is true and you don't have to sit, all I've got to say, son, is you are full of shit. Cause the revolution starts at home. Let me tell you this. Stand up for your rights, boys, but sit down to piss. Your style, keep you from doing your thing. In your own apartment, you can surely be the king. But if you're indoors sharing space, I hope by now you see that the respectful thing to do is to sit down when you pee. Cause the revolution starts at home. Let me tell you this. Stand up for your rights, boys, but sit down to piss. The revolution starts at home. Let me tell you this. Stand up for your rights, boys, but sit down to piss.
So me and Allie have a gig on Saturday night in Hartford, and which we're all looking forward to, especially those of us.
Me and all those people over there.
Yeah. All those people who clap after solos. This is a jazz tradition, by the way, in case people. Yeah. I don't know. Do they do that in bluegrass circles ever? Clap.
They do.
Jazz has influenced bluegrass. Yeah, no, I think it's great. You know, I've been to jazz concerts before, too. Right?
So
we have this gig in Hartford on Saturday, and it was originally going to happen at the Baptist church there, and one of them, Central Baptist Church, and the minister there at the church decided, it was not organized by people from the Baptist church necessarily, but another church. Yeah.
Our Hartford Okotel Sister City Project organized it.
Yeah. And then the minister of the church, for some reason, decided to go to my website. And
apparently there are people here that have been to the website.
Yeah, people do that sometimes. I always wonder if I'm just updating it for myself, for my own sort of entertainment. But he was one of those people who probably shouldn't have gone to the website. But he went to the website, and he found the lyrics to this song that we're about to sing. And the word was, at least the way I got it, I don't know exactly what he said, but the summation of what he said is that I'm anti-American, anti-Christian, and pro-terrorist. And I've heard different versions of what he said, but it was something along those lines. And so I just wanted to... And then a few days later, I got an email from somebody with the BBC, with this nationwide radio program that had played the song, and they said how much they liked the song, and I thought that he should meet the guy from the BBC, and they, so that, you know, because he needs to know more anti-American, anti-Christian, pro-terrorist people, and so I should introduce him, but in fact, you know, just in case anybody's wondering, I am in fact anti-American, anti-Christian, and pro-terrorist, as the song amply illustrates. Because nuanced thinking is not very popular these days. You know, Bush tries to set a certain example, and some people follow it. And you're all terrorists, by the way, and probably anti-American, anti-Christian, as you know, as well. Being in this room here, you haven't left yet. That's not a good sign for the Office of Homeland Security outside. Child, what will you remember? You recall your 16th year, the horrid sound of helicopter gunships, the rumble of the tanks as they drew near, as the world went about its business, and I burned another tank of gasoline. The Dow Jones lost a couple points that day, while you were crying in the city of Jenin. Did they even give your parents warning before they blew the windows out with shells? While you hid inside the high school basement, amidst the ringing of church bells, watched your teacher crumple by the doorway, and in England they were toasting for the Queen. You were so far from the thoughts of so many, huddled in the city of Geneva. Were you thinking of the taunting of the soldiers, or of the shit they smeared upon the walls? Were you thinking of your cousin after torture, or Tel Aviv and its glittering shopping malls? When the fat men in their mansions say that you don't want peace, did you wonder what they mean? As you sat amidst the stench inside the darkness, in the shattered city of Geneva.
What went through your mind on that day? The sight of your mother's vacant eyes, as she lay still among the rubble, beneath the blue Middle Eastern sky. Grim determination amidst the ruins of the city of Geneva.
Why should anybody wonder, as you stepped on board, the crowd
crowded bus across the green line. And you reached inside your jacket for the cord. Were you thinking of your neighbor's buried body as you made the stage for this scene? As you set off the explosives that were strapped around your waist, were you thinking of the city of Geneva?
This next song is about a terrorist organization that has been active throughout the world, attacking corporate and political leaders with projectiles, generally aimed at the face, often hitting their targets, often missing, but usually they practice triangulation of fire because it's a certain form of projectile that's difficult to, you need the very close range in order for it to be effective. But it is quite effective. It gets a lot of media attention, and sometimes it gets people attacked by security and arrested and imprisoned for months on occasion. But I have a theory about this after observing the whole variety of attacks that have gone down in the world. Generally, the corporate people, when they get hit, they want to just pretend it didn't happen and just say, okay, everything's cool, just, you know, take the cameras away and we'll go on exploiting the people in this country in peace. And then the politicians who get hit are usually like, you know, they get all up, you know, all riled up, like, you know, they have to defend their honor and win the next election. So they're kind of public figures, whereas the corporate people are kind of private figures, you know. It's kind of public-private thing because it works in many ways. And kind of interesting, I think. So I think that the obvious thing here, if we're seeking the path of least resistance and most sort of bang for the buck here, you know, is that is to hit the corporate CEOs and we'll do other things with the politicians. Someone will.
See the man in his limousine, in his tie and well-dressed shirt, hoping that he's not been seen on the lookout for dessert. He knows that he is guilty, and a visit might be paid by the vegan vigilantes of the biotic baking brigade. If you sell your city's soul to the landlord's greedy pack, you, my friend, have earned yourself a tasty pastry snack. You can call yourself a liberal and hope your crimes will fade, but your sellout soul will be exposed by the biotic baking brigade. Thank you.
out your disgrace. So smile for the camera with the cream pie in your face. You can hope that we won't find you out as you're hiding in the shade. Your sellout soul will be exposed by the bionic.
So this is a song about an endangered species, and basically it's a song about us people. I mean, we're, you know, one of the endangered species. We're less endangered than the others. You know, we seem to be reproducing fairly efficiently, but it's all an illusion, you know, because in fact we also are susceptible to the effects of dioxin, among other things. Oh, yeah, this is Rich Caligero, by the way. Right over here. This song, I wrote this song in order to try to describe the effects of dioxin on the reproductive systems of alligators after I read an article about it, because I thought this was relevant, because it actually affects people the same way. It's just that we're lower on the food chain, so we're affected more slowly. But we have fatty tissues, and we are therefore affected by dioxin. That's the basic bottom line with dioxin and creatures with fatty tissues. It's the relationship there. And I thought that, you know, I play on a lot of college campuses, and I'm often sponsored by environmental clubs, and I often notice that the number of people in the environmental club is a tiny percentage of the people who are involved in the fraternities. And I thought maybe all the fraternity folks would get involved with the environmental movement if they knew how they were being affected by dioxin. That's my theory, and I don't know if it's, you know, it's kind of hard to prove, but I keep on. Problem is, the frat boys don't come to my shows. Anybody in a frat here? See? Everybody's getting cancer at a geometrical rate. Maybe it's something you drank or breathed. Maybe it's something you ate. Perhaps this doesn't concern you. Maybe we've all got to go sometime. But maybe I can tell you something to make you change your mind. The alligator dicks are shriveling up, and soon they'll all be through. Yeah, the alligator dicks are shrinking fast, and it will happen to you. It will happen to you, boys, it will happen to you. The alligator dicks are shriveling up, and it will happen to you. See, they're an indicator species, like canaries in the mine. They're the first ones to kick the bucket when things might otherwise seem fine. So let's be frank and honest, as this situation begs. Boys, what are you gonna do about that thing between your legs? Cause the alligator dicks are shriveling up, and soon they'll all be through. And the alligator dicks are shrinking fast, and it will happen to you. It will happen to you, boys, it will happen to you. A promise. Say goodbye to Long Dong Silver. Hello to Tiny Thomas. You can forget about Viagra. Boys, what I mean is it's all a matter of minutia when you've got a half-inch penis. The alligator dicks are shriveling up, and soon they'll all be through. Yeah, the alligator dicks are shrinking fast, and it will happen to you. It will happen to you, boys. It will happen to you. The alligator dicks are shriveling up, and it will happen to you. Thank you.
do-de-doo. You've got to stop pollution, boys. That's what I'm telling you.
Cause the alligator dicks are shriveling up, and soon they'll all be through. Yeah, the alligator dicks are shrinking fast, and it will happen to you. It will happen to you, boys. It will happen to you. The alligator dicks are shriveling up, and it will happen to you.
I would like to ask Lucy Rosenblatt to come up to the stage.
I know, I know, I know, I know.
So if you like a lot of these harmonies, many of them were written by her. So thanks, Mom.
I could say something about this song, but no, that was not directed at anybody laughing. It's I guess I should, because people often wonder, well, what are you talking about there? It's the second biggest city of Iraq. That's a song for Basra, and I wrote it after a bunch of friends of mine were there, spent the summer there in Basra, and one of them did made a wonderful documentary about it called Greetings from Missile Street. And Basra is probably one of the longest term, most devastated cities in the world, because it's right on the frontier with Iran, and so the short range missiles that both sides were launching at each other throughout the 80s, both they could hit Basra, they couldn't hit Baghdad, but they could hit Basra. So Basra was completely destroyed in the 80s, and had just barely begun the process of any sort of rebuilding when the United States Air Force re-destroyed it. And now it's there's generally no bridges connecting most of Iraq with the section that Basra is in. So it's even within the impoverished country of Iraq, it's very hard for services and products and necessary things to get from Baghdad to Basra. And a song for every bomb that flies, I'd sing each and all the days. If there were to be a verse for every dying child's cries, for every helpless father's gaze. If I could write a love letter for each corpse as it's carried, I'd never still my pen. Stocks are going up somewhere in America. I'll sing a song for Basra. If I could shed a tear for every home that bombs destroy, I'd never stop crying. Broken brick were a heart of a little girl or boy. The world's children would be sighing. I could hold each shattered body, each baby stilled at birth. I'd have no time for loneliness. I'd spend all my days embracing the people of this savage earth, feeling the poisoned wind. And the billionaires are laughing somewhere in America.
see for a woman's shining eyes, I fall in love forever. If each bombed out kindergarten were a factory in disguise, wouldn't that be clever? But bricks are only bricks, and dust is only dust, and death is all around. Each day another missile falls, and sometimes the only thing to trust is the shaking of the ground. And they're loading up the warplane somewhere in America. Should have seven homes, while some don't have any.
Oh, I may find myself stranded in some strange place with not but a rapid stare.
I remember the world that I know. We are everywhere.
When I say the time for the rich, it will come.
Recount the ways. Victories are hints of the future. Havana, Chiapas, Caracas, Buenos Aires.
How many people are wanting and waiting and fighting for their share?
They hide in their ivory towers, but we are everywhere. Religions and prisons and races, borders and nations, FBI agents and congressmen, corporate radio stations.
They try to keep us apart, but we find each other, and the rulers are always aware
that they're a tiny minority, but we are everywhere.
Every bomb that they drop, every home they destroy, every land they invade, comes a new generation from under the rubble saying, we are not afraid. They will pretend we are few, but with each child that a billion mothers bear,
comes the next demonstration that we are everywhere.
Was that? Yeah. Lucy Rosenblatt is back. Is that we? Oh, more. Oh, oh. Okay. Stand back there. Go back there. I mean, I'm not trying to, like, you know, send you to your room. I'm not doing the same thing. No, no. Like, where he is. What's... Of course, it doesn't help if we're not singing, are you?
How's it now? Is it good?
Sound good?
I wish I must have been Vancouver at the cannabis cafe.
glasses. Hiding out Central Park. Getting kidnapped by the police. 2 days of time before dark. But I wish I was a big man cover. At the cannabis cafe.
My vocals in the monitor would be cool. Just double that. So song was written about I saw a tabloid headline on tabloid and they said this, but then I thought they wouldn't be giving the reasons that as I saw them, so I kind of wrote the song with the reasons that I thought their headline was correct.
I heard it on TV. An important politician said we've got to drive them into the sea. Round up all the Arabs, send them back from where they came. Who cares if they are citizens? They're fanatics all the same. The next attack is coming, said dictators west to east. And New York cannot rest till all the rebels are deceased. So send along those helicopters and we will shoot them all. And we'll cut social services and build a shopping mall. The next attack is coming, said the CEO. So we've got to drill for oil. Build more pipelines, don't you know? If these Arabs do not like it and we need the military here, the American people will support us, whether out of greed or fear. The next attack is coming, I heard an Afghan child say. My family was killed by a plane the other day. And when I grow, I will get them back. So I say, beware America, here comes the next attack. ¶¶
is coming, said she to his men. And if it doesn't, we can make one happen again. Every war we've ever been in was started with a lie. And this war is good business, so today's the day for you to die. The next attack is coming.
A couple more here. This is a sort of a generic protest song for shutting down the institution of your choice. And all those institutions don't deserve their own song. They all look the same, those institutions, you know. WTO, IMF, you can tell them apart. This song has a 5-word chorus, and you'll learn it real quick. You don't even need to speak English, you'll learn it. And pretty much the case. Although there are some kind of tough syllables in it, I found.
Shut them. We traveled, actually, the Coca-Cola song was about a Colombian union organizer, well, his compañeros, but we were traveling with him for a month doing a U.S. out of Colombia roadshow, and this was his favorite song, and he was sitting in the back and singing the song, even though he didn't quite know what he was saying. So we'll do this for him.
Yes, for William Mendoza.
We shall fight them on the beaches. We shall fight them on the shore. They will bring us exploitation. We'll bring them their class war. And we'll lock down to the gates as they're spreading vicious lies. They want to dominate the world, but we see through their disguise that they have big multinational with their corporate flags unfurled, searching everywhere for the lowest wages in the world. Then we'll have one big union from Melbourne to Prague to Seattle town, wherever they may go. We will shut them down, we'll shut them down, we'll shut them down. Spread the lie. This is how it's gotta be. They can have their CNN, cause we've got our IMC. And we'll tell the truth quite clearly, though they don't wanna hear it. And they'll try to stop our broadcast, cause the truth is that they fear it. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. What are we gonna do? We will shut them down.
I hear a lot of you, I don't hear all of you. You know, even if you don't believe we're going to shut them down, you may be feeling kind of cynical today and you don't believe we're going to actually shut them down. But if you sing the song enthusiastically and loudly, somebody else nearby you might think that this person is optimistic and thinks we're going to actually win. And then they might start, you know, it might infect them. They might start feeling optimistic. And before you know it, we've got a revolution on our hands and we'll start right here at Club Bastille on a Wednesday night. You never know.
Singing in tune is not a requirement.
That's volume is the important thing. Before the revolution, volume is important. After the revolution, then we can fine tune things. You know? My music philosophy. Revolutionary musical philosophy.
They have a world full of strip malls. Plants grown by biotech. As long as they get richer, they just don't give a heck. But we don't want their ego's high. We want a world we can live in. That's why we're here to stay. And we're not gonna give. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. What are we gonna do? We will shut them down. Yes. And they will infiltrate us. Provocateurs within our ranks. And if they can't divide us, they'll send the flames and the pits. We will stand together. Pacifists and Zapatistas, workers, farmers, the indigenous, tree huggers and baristas, we'll shut them down. We'll shut them down.
What are we gonna do?
We will shut them down. We will build a new world without the corporate elite. And we will see the day of their international defeat. We'll have self-determination for all. For what choice do we really have but survive?
and see them fall. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down. We'll shut them down. We'll shut them down. We will shut them down.
We're going to do one more song and get Lucy back up here. And thanks, y'all, for coming. Hope to see you again here soon somewhere. Got CDs over there for anybody interested in supporting my mechanic. And Rich Calzero, Eric Royer, Bonnie Rovick. This is a song about a photograph from 1968 in Paris. It was a good year. Could have been a little better. If you've seen the photograph, you'll know what it's about. It's about the importance of having gatherings like this and getting together and singing together and eating together and doing all kinds of things together, because we need to do this in order to not become a bunch of atomized, suburbanized little people who, you know, just kind of watch TV and die young. You know, we need to live, and that means getting together and turning off the television set, in my humble opinion. And when the world has gone crazy, and it's all becoming clear, when they're gunning down our comrades, and it seems the end is near, as they're loading up the launchers for the tear gas grenades, we can take off our bandanas and kiss behind the barricades. When it's madness all around, and you can see this at a glance, we will sing and we will cry, we will laugh and we will dance, as they shout their marching orders beneath the helicopter blades. We shall seize the moment for a kiss behind the barricades. They will try to break our spirit, and at times they may succeed, but our love for the world is stronger than their greed. When the building is surrounded and hope begins to fade, in my final hour, a kiss behind the barricades. As the movement grows, there will be hills and bends, but at the center of the struggle are your lovers and your friends. And the more we hold each other up, the less we can be swayed. Here's to love and solidarity and a kiss.